Hey guys, this is Mike.
Dan.
And this is Comparing Apples to Oranges, a monthly podcast where we get together and consume some media that belongs in the same category but does not belong in the same genre.
And consume some media and some whiskey.
Yeah, they go hand in hand. and then we decide which one is the best of the two, judging from a set of criteria we create specifically for this. So today, we've done soundtracks for movies before. Today, we're going to do soundtracks from a television show. We decided to do...
We each picked one.
Which, yeah, because that's how fairness works, yeah. Right? And so we did music...
It's called compromise.
Music from and inspired by Desperate Housewives.
That would be my pick.
Yeah.
I'll talk about my love of Desperate Housewives later on, I'm sure.
Considered a pop album from 2005. The show was on from 2004 to 2012, so I think this album came right on the heels of pilot season being so successful.
Uh-huh.
And then we did songs in the key of X, music from and inspired by The X-Files, which I picked. This came out in 1996. It's sort of an album full of, like, plain and simple, it's alternative music.
Uh-huh.
We've been back... Yeah. I mean, you can't call this anything.
We circle back around to alternative quite often.
So this came out in 1996, which was the series started in 93.
Like I said, it's when they kind of hit their stride.
Yeah, and then ended in 2002. Both of these shows were pretty popular, especially fan favorites for sure. Somewhat critically acclaimed, but mostly... They had, like, a rabid fan base.
Yeah.
What would you call Desperate Housewives as a television show?
I was actually thinking about that, because I'm always thinking about Desperate Housewives, but I was thinking about
it. The show and the actual
just in
people.
In general, yeah. I would probably say it's kind of like a suspense comedy.
A suspense comedy. You know, because there's
yeah.
Rom-com. And there's...
It's a commence.
Tragedy and comedy
yeah,
together.
Yeah, because It's not just a comedy, because there's, like, you know, people dying and, like...
Oh, my God, spoilers.
Murder mysteries and...
Oh, by the way...
Like, somebody commits suicide, like, within the first 2 minutes of the pilot.
So, Dan has seen every episode of Desperate Housewives, but no episodes of The X-Files. And I am the complete opposite, where I've seen all but the new episodes of X-Files and no episodes of Desperate Housewives, which... I don't think it's going to really affect too much, is it? I mean,
no,
like, quality of
I don't
life,
think so.
But
that's
negligible.
I think,
at best.
I mean, you're missing out, but whatever. That's the only thing it's affecting is your quality of life.
Yeah. Okay, so Desperate Housewives, it's a comedy. There's funny parts to it.
Definitely.
There's suspense to it. There's it's sort of like a primetime soap opera, would you say?
Yeah. Because
there's drama.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama.
Okay.
Baby mama drama.
Oh, boy. And so The X-Files, it's a mystery show with heavy science fiction and supernatural elements. Follows two characters who, they work for the FBI, Mulder and Scully, and they sort of, like, investigate weird phenomena. But then as the seasons kept going on, they started to develop, like, some themes and some recurring characters, and basically they're trying to figure out the plot that the government has with aliens.
The cigarette smoking man?
He's in there.
Uh-huh.
And Mulder's sister plays a more important role. And then there was one movie that came out just called The X-Files Movie.
Uh-huh.
Have it on VHS if you want to catch up. We can watch that.
Right, right.
And then there was a second movie after the series ended that prompted the second level of the series. I don't know. I uh-huh. sort of, like, lost interest after the show ended.
Yeah.
The first time it ended.
I was telling you before we started recording, my mom was a huge X-Files fan, and they rebooted it. Well, not rebooted it, but they...
On Netflix, too.
They continued it this past
year. Or was it on
year.
Fox?
It was on Fox,
okay.
Yeah.
Which is where it was originally.
And she just wasn't feeling it, man. She didn't like it. You know, that's kind of... There really are no... new ideas in Hollywood, you know, everything's getting...
No!
Everything's either getting rebooted or, like, they're bringing Will and Grace back, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, the demand for a reboot of Will and Grace is phenomenal.
But it's just, like, they don't really... It's, you know, they made fun of that in that South Park season about the member berries.
Yeah.
You know, we make jokes about that all the time, but it's really true, is that there really isn't, you know, anything unique. Everything's taken from something else, and you know, sometimes it works, and you know, there's this feeling of nostalgia where, you know, you forgot how much you liked that. I mean, that happened with, you know, the first time Family Guy came out,
mm-hmm.
and it got canceled.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it picked up this, like, cult following yeah. on DVD.
Same thing with Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
They got pulled back.
And all of a sudden, it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge. And it's they've made so many episodes that now they can be syndicated. And, you know, those people can make money off of doing nothing for the rest of their lives. Because
all of them do. I mean, voice actors do everything, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're voice acting for everything.
But, I mean, you think about, you know, those shows that just were initially thrown away and now they're, like, uber successful.
Yeah.
So sometimes it works. Sometimes I can't compare like the new X-Files to anything, you know, because I never saw the original.
Yeah.
Although I was familiar with the concept and the actors and
yeah.
and everything like that.
Which they've both gone on to like be relatively famous
mm-hmm.
in non-X-Files, you know, FBI roles.
Yeah, David Duchovny had that Californication show.
And like another
Showtime.
Yeah, another show where he's a weirdo too.
Yeah. He is kind of weird.
He just sort of leans into it and everybody accepts it, which, I mean, cash in on that, I guess. And then Gillian Anderson did a couple of things, but she most recently did The Fall, which I guess she's like a, I think she's a detective, but she's not FBI because she's in the United Kingdom. But she's aged well, considering,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I always thought she was old, but I think
yeah.
she was just, like, wearing 90s suits.
Yeah.
So you just sort of, like, look older
yeah.
in that way.
It's like, man, she really works on her shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just shoulder pads.
But she might have. We don't know. So,
Well, my dad always talks about the episode of the Larry Sanders Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever watched that or not. It's Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Jeffrey Tambor, not dead.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, now! Hank Kingsley. On that show, but there was they would have like real actors appear as themselves
mm-hmm.
on him on that show because Gary Shandling played like a fake like late night host, and there was one where David Duchovny was on there, and my dad always talks about that was his favorite episode because Larry Sanders couldn't figure out whether David Duchovny was hitting on him or not, and he gives him he's like you know all this like sexual innuendo and stuff like that, and he doesn't know if David Duchovny's like closeted gay and. He gives him a jacket that says the truth is out there, and he doesn't know if that's a clue as to whether he's gay or not. It's good stuff.
That's good. So let's talk about soundtracks and how they work for television, just so we kind of understand the genre we're talking about here,
mm-hmm.
or not the category we're talking about here. Can you think of, like, the first season or series that you've watched where you actually paid attention to the music? Because I think it's easy to remember, like, modern stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the I guess the 90s isn't modern. But, like, at the end of, a show on the WB, they'd be like,
yeah.
this episode's...
featured artist.
From Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, is available
yeah.
on...
And it's like, that's how they would sort of combine those two media that I'm assuming now they probably sold both of them. Like, it was an artist owned by the company that owned both.
Mm-hmm.
The channel and the CD company or whatever.
I guess the first show that I really noticed that on was Beverly Hills 90210.
Mm-hmm.
That was before, like, the CW and the WB were around.
Yeah, before they started doing
yeah.
teen dramas.
And they would actually have, like, a lot of artists. You know, my sister was really into the show, and I was, you know, wanted to be cool because my sister was a couple years older than me, so I was always, like, hanging around trying
yeah.
to, like, get into it.
Really into Heather Locklear, but not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yet.
Speaking of aging well, holy crap, she's like 60, and that looks exactly the same. But yeah, I remember they would have like guest stars on that show, and,
but they would be their actual band, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I remember them coming out with music either it was albums that. Where either music was that was featured on the show
mm-hmm.
mixed with music that was quote unquote inspired by the show, which is kind of it's loose.
The only loose explanation. I can't really remember a lot of music that was quote unquote inspired by a show, except for maybe like in the credits, in the beginning credits, or maybe the after credits.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first stuff that comes to mind is like Happy Days
mm-hmm.
or, you know, family matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, when did they start making music for shows?
I don't know, man. Like, outside of the thing, I mean, there's a lot of memorable theme songs.
Yeah.
But outside of those, I mean, I think they really capitalized on that with Friends.
No, that was the Rembrandts, man.
But that song, like, you know, because of the show ended
the
up...
music video.
Ended up charting, you know, on... I think it went up to number one on Billboard.
I believe it.
And then they would come out with, you know, soundtracks, you know, when, remember CDs, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when CDs were big, so they would put that, like, as track one.
Okay.
And then a bunch of other music inspired by the... I think that was one of the ones that was on our list that we looked at.
Yeah. I mean, the list, we got it from Wikipedia, mm-hmm. was two pages, which I don't know how much information you can put on a page. But some of the things, like, from the show Nashville, which is all about music, or mm-hmm. Empire, which is all about, mm-hmm. you know,
a lot of
record
original,
albums.
Like, original music written specifically for that.
Or it's covers that are done in the show by people, pretending to be acting, sorry.
Yeah.
You know that word that people do in front of a camera with that word?
Yeah, thespians.
Yeah, that's it. Trying to get everybody in here. But so, I don't really remember... I didn't want to really consider that. Like, you know, the show Glee is all about musicals and mm-hmm. big musical numbers. And, like, I didn't think that would be necessarily a fair opponent in mm-hmm. one of these sort of things. Because that is more prominent than what I think these songs were.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was trying to get at in my initial idea of, like, which... CD was more enjoyable, or which soundtrack managed to capture the essence of the show, or which show used music better in the episodes and, like, mm-hmm. detailing characters and moving the plot forward.
And shows like Nashville and Glee are both actual musical shows. My brother was really into it. It was only on for two seasons. Smash?
It
was on NBC. Okay. It had...
I think it was on our list. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it had Catherine McPhee. She was
okay.
She used to be on American Idol. She's on that Scorpio TV show now.
Was she on Ally McBeal?
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't know.
She was a little young for that.
Okay.
But he's like, well, if you like Glee, you gotta watch this. I was like, well, I love Glee because I love big musical numbers. We didn't really want to compare a non-musical show to a show that was specifically centered around music.
Right.
You know, that wouldn't really be a equal comparison.
And I think for, like, a lot of serious dramas, they don't really use music in the same capacity. It's more of, like, a score. They can still use it in, like, a really effective way. This show, The Leftovers, has... It's almost all... They have the, like, characters listening to music in headphones or whatever to, like, break up a scene, but they'll have this, like, simple piano, have this simple part of a, like, song that they'll always use... whenever something important is about to happen. And you can pick up on that as an audience member. And I think that's kind of what I was looking for in, like, a quality soundtrack, is something where it's more than just what you're watching and the dialogue. More is being brought to the experience with mm-hmm. that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. And I think with the couple that we saw here, I think it was a mix of songs that actually were on the show at some point, I think I read, and then a mix with songs that were just kind of fit the theme of the show.
And like you mentioned before, both of them have the credits, song during the credits as their first.
Right.
Well, actually, as their first or last track.
Yeah, so that's included on there, the instrumental. And then there's even some remixes of the instrumental on there. And then there are, there's covers on here. Of pretty famous songs on at least one of these albums. So, it should be interesting to talk about it.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the individual albums and criteria. We're back, and we're going to start by talking about music from and inspired by Desperate Housewives' 2005 album. It sounds like we're going to beat a dead horse, but we're going to talk about Desperate Housewives until Dan thinks it's okay.
Sure.
So it ended in 2012. It ran for 8 seasons. That's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
While it was running, it won multiple Primetime Emmy, Golden Globe, and Screen Actor Guild Awards. It was also reported to be the most popular show in its demographic worldwide, with an audience of approximately, take a guess, Dan.
I don't know, six?
120 million. Good guess, though. And it was reported to be the third most watched television show in a study of ratings in 20 countries. That's so much!
That's a lot of countries, man.
Dude, that's a lot.
It was big in Colombia.
It was measured across five continents. I wonder which ones they left off. It has held positions since 2006.
They probably used Antarctica because, like, there's only like six people down
there. And they love Terry Hatcher.
100% of the people love Terry Hatcher.
It said that
big Lois and Clark fans.
The show was ranked at number 56 on Entertainment Weekly's New Classic TV list. That sounds like a pretty stupid list. And I don't know if 56 is good or bad, to tell you the truth.
If it's Entertainment Weekly, you can't really trust it.
It's out of 57, just throw that away. Who knows? Series finale aired on May 13th, 2012. It had surpassed Charmed as the longest-running hour-long television series featuring all female leads by two episodes.
Oh, nice.
So I guess that's
like
we got
to knock out these last two,
guys. I don't know if you ever saw Charmed. It was pretty bad. Yeah. I watched all of it. Uh-huh. It was pretty bad.
A lot of good-looking broads on that show.
Doing witchcraft, of all things.
Nothing wrong with that.
That was also a show that had, at one point, the three sisters came into a bunch of money, so they started a club. And, like, every week they had a, like, well-known artist come and play at the club. And I'm like, this seems pandering. And I said, it worked. I don't know. So.
Yeah, well, that was the WB for you.
Yeah. So this was released alongside the series in 2005, put out by Universal Music. I don't know what that means. None of the songs had been used in the series at the time the album was released. However, songs marked with an asterisk, I'm not going to talk about that, have been included. I don't know what that means. they did an interesting thing with this album where they had sound bites from individual characters,
I
guess the main characters in the show.
Yeah.
Like Mary Alice.
She's the one who commits Gabrielle. Suicide in the very first, like, 2 minutes of the show.
And that's what they that's what her talking is actually about.
Yeah, and she narrates, like, the whole show, even though she's not alive. Yeah.
So that's a little bit about the background of the story. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the show? Because I just sort of no idea.
So my wife tells me that she says you can't call Desperate Housewives a good show just because you want to do a bunch of old ladies.
Yeah, this was the first time
That's her classic line.
This is they sort of tried to spearhead the whole cougar movement.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't think any of these women were old or considered old by the time the show came out, right? Like, they're like mid-30s, possibly at the oldest?
I think some of them might have been in early 40s.
You don't know. You're lying.
So, I know, like, Eva Longoria was the young one. She was, like, not quite 30.
Okay.
But the rest of them were at least in their 30s, if not 40s. But, like later they would, like, bring in, like, other cougars as well.
Oh, boy.
Like, Dana Delaney came in. She's, like, 50-something and gorgeous still. So, you know, like, let's find, like, the hottest, oldest, like, find that line of demarcation, like, where, you know, before they, you know, start to kind of go downhill.
Before they start doing shows, like, called Cougar Town or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a show.
Yeah.
I think they tried to pick up the...
With Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick up the heat from this show. I don't know if it worked.
No.
Never watched an episode of either. No. So, couldn't tell you.
You're missing out.
That's... All right, anyway. Why did you keep watching the show? What did it offer its audience? Did it last for 8 seasons?
Pretty sure I just said it.
8 seasons?
Hot older ladies.
Ah, that's a long time, man.
I don't know, man. I guess there's always some
kind of
like...
It's a lot of continents.
There's always some kind of like overarching like murder mystery like every season. A lot of people died on that street.
That's weird.
Wisteria Lane.
Uh-huh.
A lot, like, I guess, you know, the cops didn't think to, you know, patrol this suburban town or suburban street, but
did say
a lot of crazy shit going on.
It was beautiful and seemingly perfect suburban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Except for all the death and suicide and
that, like, the women had to face secrets, crimes, and mysteries hidden behind their doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trouble.
A lot of stuff, man. There was, you know, like...
Did you ever watch Eerie Indiana? It was like the same plot, but very little sex, because it was a children's show. Yeah. So, like, it was the same sort of thing where, like, weird stuff would happen.
There's always, like, crazy shit going on, man. Yeah. And but then there would be, like, funny moments and, you know, to kind of lighten the mood so it didn't get too dark. And but there was always, like, you know, somebody's, like, keeping somebody in the basement, like, barely alive or something. Like, there's always some kind of crazy shit going on. But, you know, they get away with everything because they're... white.
Not even Longoria.
Political commentary, sorry.
I don't know, was there political commentary in 2004? Was that a thing yet? On ABC?
Yeah, it was after 9/11, so everything was political after that.
Alright, do you want to talk about the songs, or should we go talk about the X-Files first?
Let's talk about the X-Files.
Okay, so the X-Files started in 1993, went to 2002, so that's a good 9 seasons. This was a compilation album released in association with the American science fiction television series The X-Files.
And the American Cancer Society, because of the smoking man.
Cigarette smoking man. You might remember The X-Files being talked about in that song One Week by Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
And they talk about this smoking man in that.
Watch an X-File with no lights on, without a maze on. I hope the smoking man's the next one.
Yeah, that's a good one. It received positive reviews from the critics. I don't know if you read it. There were 2 hidden tracks.
I did hear that.
You had to rewind the first track 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Like you had to hold down the rewind CD button. And
which didn't work so much when I was listening on YouTube.
Oh, mine said specifically, you can't do it. Yeah. Like, I said, oh, well. This was picked up by the fans. Like, they were super excited because they're like, this is just the sort of surprise one might have suspected from a show that deals in inexplainable mysteries.
And they said,
like, when you say that stuff out loud, shut up.
They said it in that voice, too.
I wish they did. It'd be a little more.
Just exactly like.
You nailed it. And it says not all CD or DVD players will allow the album to be quote unquote rewound back to these tracks. Which, because it violates Redbook standards. Which, I mean, like, Redbook the magazine?
Yeah, the magazine. They don't like you doing shit like that.
Who thought they'd have standards?
Yeah, I don't know.
So...
They know what's coming... What's the new fall fashion, like, styles coming out.
Dress like an apple.
Yeah. That's big, man.
It's not bad.
But Redbook don't want you fucking rewinding CDs and shit. That's why we have CDs. You know, if we can skip tracks, we don't have to rewind them.
Yeah, we live in the modern age.
Yeah. I don't want you rewinding, you know, CDs like a savage.
It's gonna scratch them up.
But I heard there was a clue to that in the
liner notes,
yeah,
which are also gone the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase people still use?
No,
does that phrase go out of fashion too?
No, yeah, that phrase went the way of the dodo.
No. So it said originally artists such as Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, and Seal. We're approached to possibly contribute material because they were admitted fans of the series. None were able to get involved in the project. So I don't know why they brought that up, but it all fell to nothing.
Was that Seal that was just here? God, that was amazing.
I was just playing that in the background.
Oh.
Critics liked it. They said it was easily the most ambitious record ever assembled for a TV soundtrack.
Record.
What a ridiculous thing to say. Also, what?
Who calls them records?
Nerds.
Other than me and my dad went to Chicago to see Stevie Wonder, and we took an Uber to the United Center, because we're hashtag blessed, and the Uber driver was asking why we were going to the United Center. He didn't know if it was a basketball game or something. He said, we're going for a concert. My dad said, we're going for a concert. And the guy said, oh, who's the concert? He thought maybe it was like Pitbull or somebody like that.
Oh, my boy.
Yeah, Mr. Worldwide. And he said, no, Stevie Wonder. And he said, I don't know no Stevie Wonders.
Aww.
And my
that guy's quality of life must be
My dad
low.
Said, in his way of explaining who Stevie Wonder was, he goes, he makes records. I go, you're so... fucking old.
Also, like, how helpful is that sentence? He knows it's a concert, right?
He makes records.
Oh, yeah. Stevie Wonder.
Stevie, I don't know no Stevie Wonders. That's my little side story.
That sounds like records. Is that a Florida accent you're doing there?
No, it was
like from the bayou.
It was a Spanish speaking gentleman.
Oh, so that's why you thought Pitbull.
Maybe that's why he liked Pitbull. Pitbull's Cuban though, isn't he?
I mean,
Cubano.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Worldwide.
That could mean everywhere. By definition, that should mean more than just Cuban. All right, so The X-Files, I was a big fan of it. It was one of those shows that started with what you could assume was, like, they might call it a cult following, but because, I mean, it ended up being on, you know, Fox on Sunday after The Simpsons. So it was, like, literally the opposite of a cult following by the end. It was it was prime time, and it actually had two spinoffs. Chris Carter. Carter did two spinoffs.
Chris Carter, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
No, Chris Carter's Jimmy Carter's older brother.
Oh, he's a peanut farmer. He's a penis farmer.
That's Jimmy Carter. Chris Carter did the X-Files in these two spinoffs.
Right on.
And both of the spinoffs, like, followed characters that were possibly tertiary, possibly whatever the fourth.
I think I vaguely remember
one
that.
One was called Millennium, and it was, like, really interesting about Frank Black, who kind of coincidentally is one of the artists on this record, but it's Frank Black this was record. Played by Lance Hendrickson, Bishop from Aliens.
Yeah,
if you remember that?
Yeah,
and also had the guy who would play Locke on Lost, the bald guy with the mustache. I don't think he had a mustache in the '90s though. But I loved Millennium. It was awesome. Try and look that up. And then they also had the Lone Gunmen, which were like the three nerds that would occasionally, like, hack stuff, and they were conspiracy nuts in the X-Files. They also had their own show for, like, I think they only made a season and a half. X-Files was wildly popular.
When you said that it started off as a cult thing, it's one of those shows that could have easily just gotten canceled because it took a while to kind of, you know, build the audience. Kind of compare that to Firefly, that is now considered by
the cult show.
My
right behind Freaks and Geeks.
And my dad is like a big, like, you know, everything snob.
He's a Joss Whedon apologist.
TV, movie, music snob. And he said, I gotta tell you, bud, that's one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
It's, you know, it doesn't stand up to time. I mean, I watched it last year. And I think out of like 12 episodes, I don't know how many there were, like, five were really, really good. And the other ones were just, like, they just needed time to spread their wings because they were trying to be, trying to push too much into a little amount of time.
A lot of those Joss Whedon shows don't get...
I know, Buffy ran for a million years.
Yeah, but what was the...
Angel
they
ran
had,
for
eight. The one with the chick from Bring It On.
How would I know?
Elijah Dushku.
Where she was a ghost was whisperer?
Dollhouse?
She had a handful where she was like, she did stuff with ghosts.
I don't know. He seemed like he...
Medium? No.
He had a whole bunch that were, you know, the fans loved, but, you know, that doesn't keep you on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because, you know, I guess when that came out, the world is ruled by geeks now in 2017.
I don't think that's true.
I think it is, man.
I think things that geeks used to like are now in the popular zeitgeist? Is that a word that people still use correctly?
I think you're saying...
milieu? I know that's wrong. French. It means background.
Yeah, Dollhouse, that was one of them. You know, if you look at the biggest, you know, movies in the theater last year, and you look at the shows that are on TV,
I don't think those are made for nerds anymore, because, I mean, they're all made... They might have come from a comic book series, but they don't follow that. I mean, it's like they just use the characters because it's...
I think it's the culture has become a condition to think that nerdy stuff is cool or just normal.
Is that why there's so many Law and Orders and NCIS's? Because, I mean...
Nobody cares about that shit.
I'm just saying that's...
Bump, bump.
That's where all the numbers are pulling in for television.
I mean, that's just like, you know, cop stuff in general.
Yeah.
Is... you know, I was looking up Emmy facts today because we're going to a trivia thing.
Sounds boring.
And the fictional job that has the most nominations ever is cop.
Okay.
You know, so like you know,
The Wire, True
Detective. You know, usually you throw like a cop drama or something against the wall, you know, one out of every two is going to stick and you know, make some money for a little while.
This time the cop is also a dog. You're like, yeah. What? Canine, yeah. the musical.
Yeah, they got stuff like that. You know, with the Josh Whedon stuff, I think it's, if like Firefly would have come out today, you know, of course with updated, you know, budgets and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, they could manage on practical effects. They didn't
but,
get
you know,
star.
I mean, I guess given accounting for inflation and stuff
okay.
like that,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know. I think it would be, you know, insanely successful and would probably run multiple seasons and people would probably get tired of it after about two or three.
Looking at you, Angel.
Yeah.
That show was not very good.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that either.
Really?
No.
It's only okay.
Speaking of the X-Files, after like two or three seasons, did it start to kind of lose its fastball and
so what,
go downhill?
That's the thing is, with the whole Freak of the Week thing, you can probably pull a good four seasons out of that, like uninterrupted, just like something weird, mm-hmm. you know, every single episode seemingly unconnected. So they started to pick up, there's something bigger,
mm-hmm.
and let's figure out what happened to Mulder's sister. And that leads us to, like, let's figure out what's, you know, the deal with the Greys, and then that might have to do with at some point they find like Scully has something implanted in her, so she's part of the bigger thing. So it's like,
did Mulder implant it in her?
No, man, they're strictly platonic.
All right, man,
that's
just saying.
They talk about that a lot, which makes me very right. uncomfortable. They're like, no, like it was as if the two characters were to hold hands, it would be like they were making love, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
So Gillian Anderson. Don't know what to, don't let her get interviewed. That's all I'm saying. But no, the show, and that was the thing, they got to pull in different characters, so they pulled in, like, Frank Black, who had psychic powers, and they pulled in the weirdo guys, the lone gunmen, so that they could do more conspiracy stuff. Because they were sort of reacting to, they got to pull from sort of, like, the fringe ideas that were out there. Did you get it?
Yeah.
And, like, they had, like, a Jersey Devil episode, and they had, like, a werewolf episode, you know, and, like, there was a guy who could control the weather with his emotions, but he didn't know it, but he was a weatherman, so he's, like, the best weatherman
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. And it's, like, they got to just do, like, weird, quirky stuff, and they got to flesh out characters, so it didn't really get too tired, but they definitely knew they had to. Like, the audience could not keep just sitting on their hands waiting for something to happen. I think that's what, you know, Twin Peaks and that whole
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to pull that for a long time, just keep going. And the executives are like, no, you need to figure out who Laura Palmer's murderer is. And the guy's like, but we're only in season two. And they're like, well, just do it. And he's like, that's the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
The whole series should be trying to figure out who the murderer is. And they're like, nope,
mm-hmm.
do it in the next 8 episodes. And so that tanked the show, because he's like, well, we can't be subtle, we can't explore anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got weird with owls. I don't know
as things are wont to do.
Yeah, once you introduce a couple owls, you're like, oh
yeah.
Spirit possession.
Yeah, that's
I'm
when
into
they jumped,
that
that's when they jumped the shark.
No, jumped the owl.
Mm.
There were no sharks. It was
the owl jumped over the shark on a jet ski.
I would watch that.
Fonzie was driving.
Fonzie, they had a pretty good
That's where the jump the shark thing comes from.
I was talking about soundtrack, but yeah.
Yeah.
From remember the reason we're talking? TV
oh,
soundtrack.
Oh, shit. Oh, right on.
Happy days are here to stay. Is that the song?
Monday, Tuesday, happy day.
All right, let's get into our criteria. Tuesday, you ready to do some criteria
yes,
talk?
Sir.
All right, criteria one. We did...
Take two.
Did the album capture the spirit of the show in the variety of music it chose to use? Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one of those. Number two.
Number two. Bum, bum. Diversity of music. So did they... Were all the songs you know, from the same genre, or did they pull from different genres in order to fill out the soundtrack?
Because the shows didn't fit comfortably into one genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to say that Desperate Housewives was a soap opera or a drama, and The X-Files were science fiction or an FBI show. But really, like, because they were on for, you know, 8+ seasons each,
mm-hmm.
they had time to sort of play around in that, in the different categories.
So, like, if you did a soundtrack for Nashville, it should all be country music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, if they had something on
happy
there.
Happy Days would just be, you know.
Monday, Tuesday, happy
metal,
days.
Hard metal.
Yeah.
The hardest of metals.
I think death metal.
Did you ever watch that show Metalocalypse on Adult Swim?
No.
It followed, like, a screamo band. And they're, like, various adventures. And so if you expected to hear anything besides, like, music that they made for the show, you'd be like, doesn't
I don't think
fit.
I've ever heard that term, screamo band. That's pretty, pretty
not
good.
Good. It's real
it's pretty
bad.
Good.
Oh, the word or
yeah,
the band?
Yeah, the word.
No, yeah. I didn't come
you,
up with
you
it.
Should take credit for that.
I already did.
I do
TM,
all the
TM.
Time.
Next we did, does the album push the audience to keep watching the show or start watching the show? Does it create interest for the show?
I think that's a good example for both of us because we had both seen one show
mm-hmm.
and had not
listened
seen
to
the
album.
Yeah.
And I think that both of the albums came out early enough where they had a base group of followers.
Ace of Base?
Are they from Sweden?
I think so.
So that might they definitely watched both of these shows.
Yeah. That was one of the countries that Desperate Housewives was big in.
Definitely one of the continents.
Yeah.
And then our last one is
re-listenability,
which we always throw in there if we're doing music. I listened to both of these twice. It's kind of hard because they're both only on YouTube.
Mm.
Although Desperate Housewives ended up being on Spotify, but
yeah.
Me and my algorithm was really getting thrown off. They're like, "Hey, your daily mix now has
Josh Stone."
It's got audio clips from
yeah.
Desperate Housewives.
From MASH.
You might also like audio clips from the television show
get,
The Ghost Whisperer
get like,
with Eliza Dushku.
Get like spoken word stuff from Alan Alda on MASH. Hey, Mike. Yeah.
Well, it's addressed to me. Whoa, maybe I... let's throw that algorithm
watch,
off.
MASH, yeah.
All right, so let's get into it, Dan. Which one do you want? Which category do you want to start with?
Re-listenability, man.
All right, so which one could you just like imagine yourself? You know, you got an hour long drive because
mm-hmm.
both of these are
mm-hmm.
just about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know what? Nothing's good on the radio. The Cardinals aren't playing on Camel X.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pop in a CD I burned from YouTube of
yeah.
a soundtrack. From a television show?
Well, if I was popping in a CD, it would not be in my car since I don't have a CD player.
Ooh.
Because, so I only have...
So your car was built in the 1940s?
No.
Sometime after the
no,
1940s?
I actually have a fairly new radio.
That was the joke.
But it's only, it does, you know, Bluetooth because I'm hashtag blessed
yeah.
with my $30 radio. if I was popping a CD in, I'd probably be in my wife's car because... She has a 6-disc CD changer.
So technically, you could listen to both of these and have four more soundtracks.
I
want to
listen all 6 at the same time.
There's no way that... Does she have 6 CD players?
Yeah.
God, that is hashtag blessed.
She is hashtag blessed. She's my sugar mama.
But she just pays you in CD players.
All right, yeah, so...
Works at Best Buy.
So I would be in my wife's car.
Okay.
We'd be utilizing her 6-disc CD changer.
So what's in disc one, or what's disc one you pop in?
That's
a long way to
Jessica,
answer this
Jessica, what's disc one?
No, this is your answer. What are you putting in? What CD are you putting in?
Oh,
which one do you want to re-listen to?
I thought you were asking like which ones are in disc 1 through 5, and then I'm putting in disc 6. If it was her, it's probably Books on Tape.
So okay, you're gonna need.
CD
then you're definitely gonna
are in
need
the first all, 5.
Well, that makes sense to have all 6 then, because those
yeah.
are usually like 10 CDs.
But she'll save me the last slot. I'm gonna go with the Desperate Housewives soundtrack.
Surprise, surprise, over here.
Because one of the reasons. Well, I didn't really like either one of the albums.
What?
Yeah, they both. They
you don't
both,
like William S. Burroughs?
Oh, dude, don't even get me started. Like that's coming up.
You don't like the Meat Puppets?
No, well. Not so. I mean, a little bit, I guess. But like the
you a Liz Phair fan?
Not so much. But I was just thinking, if I was listening to this in the car, I'd probably be in my wife's car. I'd probably have my wife. I'm hardly in my wife's car without being there with my wife.
Yeah, because the implication that you stole the car without asking.
And she would want to listen to this album. I think it's got She Daisy.
Yeah.
And Shania Twain, and Martina McBride.
Macy Gray.
And Leanne Rimes.
Joss Stone.
And
Indigo Girls.
Idina Menzel.
You even remember these guys?
Idina Menzel.
I remember some of these.
Of the Let It Go fame.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah, that's her. And then, of course, Katie Lang. Which,
that was a really depressing song.
Which doesn't, which she doesn't capitalize the KD, which pisses me off. Like how like presumptuous like are you that you don't have to pronounce, you don't have to capitalize the KD and
the implication is that she doesn't think she's important, so you don't need to capitalize it.
She thinks she's so important, right, that she doesn't think she's important.
There's so Dan's been having this Twitter feud with Katie Lang for the last 2 years. And I told him, please don't bring it up on the podcast.
It's come to a head.
Her fans are going to get very vitriolic.
Yeah, all six of them.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know who Katie Lang is.
This podcast has more fans than Katie Lang.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
so
have seven.
I definitely picked the X-Files because
you're a piece of shit.
That's not why I picked it though. I just thought like. For the songs that I liked on the Desperate Housewives were, I liked as much as some of the songs I liked on the X-Files one,
mm-hmm.
but the ones I didn't like on the Desperate Housewives, I really didn't like, and the ones on the X-Files I really didn't like. There were only a couple that I, like there were two or three that I could skip on the X-Files, uh-huh. where there'd have to be like six on Desperate Housewives.
See, I liked the some of the covers of
me too
classic songs.
I think those were some of my favorites
on the Desperate Housewives one. I liked the Liz Phair cover of Mother's Little Helper.
That was my least favorite. That was one of my least favorites.
I guess I just really like that song. That I don't care. Like I don't even care if Katie Lang sings it. I probably like it. Ooh. That's not true. Can I sing a little Katie Lang for you?
Can it be a song that I know?
Come,
man, knock at our door.
Craving,
you don't like that song? I like that song.
Has always been.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that song sucks.
Oh, come on. How'd you feel about Danzig on the X-Files one?
Danzig's all right.
Yeah, see?
But I like the Mrs. Robinson cover.
Yeah, that was
the
great.
Indigo Girls.
Like, that's a... I like that all the songs were by females. I thought that was pretty cool.
And it was kind of... That kind of went with the, like, you know, women power thing of the show. Like,
I didn't get that the women were powerful. I just thought that it focused on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's kind of what I meant. Okay. It's just like, you know, like, women are important. Women are... can do amazing things. Women can headline this show, and they can also, you know, be featured on this album, you know, entire. We don't need any men except for
the writers and producers.
Yeah, Mark Cherry, I guess, and Danny Elfman.
Yeah, who would have thought? Danny Elfman of
the Batman soundtrack.
He did everything with Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exclusive, but nearly everything Tim Burton's ever done, movie-wise, Danny Elfman's been his composer. And then also The Simpsons, that famous, which is like, I appreciated that both of these credit songs, what do you call them? Oh, they call them theme songs,
mm-hmm.
had no words. I kind of liked that.
Yeah, Danny Elfman is kind of like you said, Tim Burton's go-to guy, but he also did like the first Spider-Man.
Oh, is that right?
Movie.
That had good music.
Men in Black.
No, that was Will Smith. Nice try, stupid.
the instrumental version. And he's doing like some more superhero stuff now, too.
I also sort of felt that the Desperate Housewives one seemed to drag a little bit longer, which is weird because it was 10 minutes shorter than the X-Files. Mm. I don't know why I felt that way.
I don't know. I guess it was like more... I guess it had more like kind of poppy, upbeat stuff. I guess I kind of like that. I guess I've been more conditioned to appreciate shitty country music
than alternative music.
Living with my wife for 14 years, I think I've gained an appreciation for crappy country music.
All right, so just gonna throw this out here, just to hurt your feelings. You don't like PM Dawn anymore?
Is it my time?
So PM Dawn was featured for two of the songs on The X-Files and zero of the songs on Desperate Housewives. And you're looking me in the face saying you don't want to listen to PM Dawn.
And they're like, which one of... they're like, all right, so on this X-Files album, we can get one of these artists to do two songs.
Yeah.
who do you want to get to do two songs? They're like, we could get the Foo Fighters to do two songs. They're like, nah, I don't think so.
They're pretty busy.
Could you get PM Dawn twice on there?
They're like, could we? They wanted to do the whole album. But that was...
Songs in the key of Dawn.
It was... That's good.
Yeah.
I'm never going to listen to it, but that's clever PX shit. Dawn. This was kind of an interesting thing about that song. They don't have the lyrics posted anywhere on the internet.
Mm.
And the video that goes along with this track list, you get to watch it, and the guy in the like little comment section, he's like, this is the best I could do. He's like, nowhere else would publish it.
Mm.
And this was written because they're fans of the show. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Right on.
I didn't really like the song very much, but yeah. It was weird, you know? Yeah. So, kind of interesting.
Did you catch the, you know, just, I was going through the Wikipedia track listing.
Naturally.
For the, shout out to Wikipedia, sponsor of the show, friend of the show, Wikipedia.
John Wicky?
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Not John Wick.
Yeah.
We couldn't get him.
No, we tried.
He's pretty violent. We're trying to stay away from him for right now.
But the one song, the Sarah Evans song, One's on the Way, which is not a very good song, was written by Shel Silverstein?
Yeah, man. Silverstein's all over the place.
What? I didn't know he did music.
He wrote Boy Named Sue. Johnny Cash sang it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Right? Dude, he was, like, prolific before he did Light in the Attic.
Uh-huh.
He wrote, like, he would go on, what's that word? He wrote for a magazine. Go on location.
Mm.
He'd, like, go on location for Playboy and, like, write stuff and send it back in. Yeah, like weird essays.
I'll take that gig.
No, he wouldn't go and, like, write on women.
Hang out with Hugh.
No, that was the whole thing. He would go travel. He would not get to go to the mansion.
That's bullshit. It's kind of like, it's much bullshit when Playboy stopped doing nudes.
Do you assume that he would get a lot of writing done at the mansion?
Yeah, I would think it'd be like a pretty, like, relaxed environment.
Nah.
Like,
he doesn't get to wear a robe. Hef has, like, a very strict, I'm the only robe wearer here.
So everybody's just, like, in Speedos, or?
No, he had to wear burlap.
Chaps?
God, no! That'd be awful!
Chaps?
What are we saying?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know what you wear at the Playboy Mansion.
Not a robe.
Hmm.
There's rules.
All right.
So let's go to the next one. We're going to talk about which album had a diversity of music on it. Which one sort of captured a multitude of genres in it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with... Oh, man. That's kind of a tough call.
I don't think so.
Ooh. Listen to this guy over here. I'm going with X-Files.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I didn't think it was a hard call at all because the Desperate Housewives one is basically just country music.
But they also had, like, pop, and then they had, like, oldies that were... Because I didn't consider Mrs. Robinson country.
But it was done in a country flavor. They're done with a country...
I thought they did Band of Gold in a country flavor. I don't think the Indigo Girls were country.
I don't know, man. It came off country to me.
That's fair.
Like, and then, like...
Are they in the South? Or are they supposed to be in, like, Connecticut? In Wisteria Lane?
That's a hell of a question.
They didn't have an accent. None of the women did in their little sound bites.
The whole album kind of sounded country to me.
Yeah, I mean Shadazy and
even
Shania Twain.
But like even like the
Liz Phair one,
Katie Lang and Liz Phair and
yeah.
Idina Menzel. I mean
yeah.
Those are all kind of came off
Leanne
country
Rimes.
To me.
Yeah.
But
okay.
And those artists aren't even country artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It all just kind of sounded the same to me. X-Files for better or worse was, you know, mixed up pretty well.
Yeah,
I mean,
rock.
you had stuff by
Rob Zombie,
Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Yeah, that was weird.
He's screaming a lot.
Yeah, man. And like you know, they did.
Hey,
Sheryl Crow snuck in there. That
yeah,
was pretty good.
That was like yeah,
so,
Elvis Costello.
Yeah, they sort of covered their Filter, which is sort of, you know.
There you go from Elvis Costello right into Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper.
It's pretty smart. I mean, that's how you cover your bases.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like my iPhone. It kind of goes from Tupac right into Idina
PM
Menzel.
Dawn.
Right into PM Dawn.
I don't. It's, what is PM Dawn? Are they like R&B?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't tell from the. Well, they did a X Files PM Dawn remix, which you just like. So you're just gonna play it on like a weirder synthesizer, like the.
Dude, PM Dawn comes up a lot on this show.
Yeah.
You think he'd come on and host?
It's one guy?
I think so.
Oh, we can get him a... I thought it was two guys.
I don't know, man.
Oh, then we can't get two. We don't have that kind of budget.
Can we get Dawn or just PM?
It's a good question. I thought it was three guys. P, M, and their sister Dawn.
Shit.
She played the guitar.
Tony Orlando had a singer named... It was Tony Orlando and Dawn. Yeah. And she was just like
his... T.O. Dawn?
He was like his, side piece singer. Ugh. And then he kind of went solo. He had a big mustache.
Cool. All right. So we did not split on that one. What about which CD do you think captured the spirit of the show? Which one do you think Desperate Housewives album touched on sort of the desperateness, the housewifery? Do you think it captured mystery? Do you think it captured frustration?
Okay, so I'm going to give it to the X-Files, and here's why.
Okay.
Because I could see the X-Files album that kind of ran the gamut of genres, also running the gamut of emotions that could be in an episode of the X-Files, which I could see would be like kind of creepy. I could see it would be scary. I could see that it would be lighthearted. I could see that it would be, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
Whereas the Desperate Housewives one seemed very forced.
Okay.
Like it's almost like nobody watched the show. They just knew the title.
Oh.
And they looked at the cover.
Okay.
And they said, okay, well, we got to pick songs about women
that are attractive and older.
And even more, if they could be housewives in the song.
Go on.
There's even a song called God Bless the American Housewife.
I liked that song.
Okay.
And here's why I'm giving it to Desperate Housewives, not having watched an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that song did a... And, like, I'm going to talk about... Where's the other one? The Harper Valley PTA... I thought those songs did a great job of capturing the satire within the song that the show was shooting for. I mean, the show's called Desperate Housewives. Yeah. You're just like, oh, but it's over the top to the point of being a satire.
No. Well, you're wrong.
I'm trying to give you because a benefit of the doubt for watching a show.
Like,
that it's smarter than it is. Wrong again.
The fourth track on there, which was my least favorite, which was Shania Twain's Shoes.
That was awful. Did you know men are like shoes because... And then she did not have reasons. She's like, because you need a lot of them, and
so
you wear them around, they're on your feet a lot.
Whoever put this fucking album together...
Looking at you, Hollywood Records.
They said... All right, well, it's about women. What do women like?
How about you? Men are like shoes. Need to confuse. Got there so many of them. I don't know which ones to choose. Oh, sing it to me. If you agree.
And a bunch of dudes, a bunch of men record producers.
Boys.
In the room said... they like shoes.
No, first of all, Shania Twain wrote that, man.
She didn't write that.
Yeah, she did. No. See how poorly it was done?
None of these... they got Joy Scott, Kim Tribble, Robert John...
Who are these people?
Mutt Lang.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the writers on there.
Nice.
And Tammy Heiler. It took like six people to write that shitty song.
That's bad news.
God damn.
But see,
like everybody, take a type of shoe. You got heels, you got flats, and we'll all work our verse in. We're bring it together. It's gonna be magic.
It was not magic.
No, it was shit.
But you're harping on the worst of the songs. Like,
okay, but then like
Band of Gold. Mrs. Robinson's a great song for Desperate Housewives.
We'd like to know a little bit about you for our fun. Like to help you learn to help yourself.
Okay, because it's a movie about like a hot older chick.
It's not a movie.
Well,
The Graduate was a movie. It was a book. And then Paul Simon, he wrote that for inspiration for the film.
Yeah,
because that's perfect transition. That's a seamless.
Well, it's
sync
lazy,
up.
Man. It's no, just it's like perfect. All right, these are hot older ladies.
Go on.
So let's go back. You know, I remember that movie where it had, you know, Anne Bancroft. She was hot, and like Dustin Hoffman banged her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should do that song. Like, all
right, because that's what happens in this show, right? I didn't see the show.
It's too, yeah, it does. But
what are you
but
so upset
too,
about?
It's too on the nose, man.
That's what we're shooting
no,
for.
No, no, oh it's overly lazy.
No,
it's overly
it's
lazy.
Satire.
Harper Valley PTA is an old country song.
Yeah.
You know,
that
about,
fits with like these women
about a mom
who stands
in the PTA.
She's standing up for herself, even though she's just a woman.
She's an older lady wearing short skirts, and stuff,
everybody's and, crooked in town. Yeah. That's what that show, that song's about.
It's too on the nose, man.
That's what this is about.
No.
And as she walked up to the blackboard, I still recall the words she had to say. She said, "I'd like to address this meeting of the Harper Valley PTA."
Yes.
It's not supposed to be just like painfully obvious.
Yes, it
no.
is.
No, it's not. You're an idiot. I hate you.
It captures the spirit of the show.
No, I hate you.
All right. So we clearly we split on that one.
Mother's Little Helper.
That you liked that. You just said you
I
liked
love that song, but it's like... You don't just put it in there just because...
She's desperate.
Because they're... One of the characters... And,
this
and
is
they,
a show you loved.
One of the characters...
You watched every episode
yeah,
for 8 seasons.
One of the characters on the show, like, gets hooked on, like, caffeine pills.
Yeah.
And so they put, like, her little snippet about yeah. that right before Mother's Little Helper. It's too on the nose, man.
That's what... What did you want?
No.
Did you want it to be a mystery?
No. A little creativity isn't bad.
This is creative.
No, it's not
they
creative.
They found specific songs that would fit
with
the character.
I could have put this list together in 20 minutes.
How is that uncreative?
That's not creative. That's like... If I can do it, it's not creative.
That's just... That's pretty sad. We should move on.
Yeah.
This is getting.
I'm just
picking
saying.
At a scab that should be left yeah. dried.
I love you, Mike.
Full circle.
But I don't like.
All right. So last one. Which album makes you want to watch the show? Which one pushed you as a non-audience member, or maybe as an audience member to you know catch back up? You know, pick up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that all the seasons are on the internet or
mm-hmm.
your local library. You could check them out season by season.
Well, I will say that I don't think either one of them.
Ooh,
did
not
for
a
me.
Choice.
I know I'm going to have to pick one.
Don't remember that being a choice, Dan.
Yeah.
Huh. It's weird.
I make the rules.
No.
But I don't really think either. Like, I never watched The X-Files, and listening to this album didn't give me any push to want to watch it.
Right.
I guess the, like I said, the laziness of the, stop laughing, the laziness of the construction of this album,
mm-hmm.
of the Desperate Housewives album, didn't really make me want to go back and watch it again, so I'm going to...
For the fourth time, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you watch one episode before you go to sleep every
yeah,
day, and
but
when you wake
but
up.
But I watch like 45 seconds of it.
It's the same 45 seconds.
Little innuendo there.
Looking at you guys.
Yep. So who'd you pick?
I picked X-Files.
Okay.
Here's why.
Why?
Here's why. That song, Unmarked Helicopters,
uh-huh.
right after the Mark Snow title.
Unmarked helicopters are hovering up. They said it was a weather balloon.
That one captures the thing in the like the essence of the show. And there's conspiracies. It's
mm-hmm.
you know, it's weird stuff. I really liked. What else did I like? The Unexplained. But even I was joking about the meat puppets. Like they have Unexplained, and then they have that weird thing with the PM Dawn song. Is like kind of it's weird, and like Sheryl Crow's in there, and the Foo
mm-hmm.
Fighters sort of like it doesn't all have to be weird. It's kind of catchy. I don't know. I also like because. Of some of the stuff on Desperate Housewives, like, because it was so on the nose, I'm just like, I kind of don't want to watch, like, a woman have a pill addiction. And I don't want to watch, you know, a mom tell off the PTA,
mm-hmm.
like, because they're all crooked. I'd rather just listen to this album,
mm-hmm.
which I don't want to do. You know what I mean?
And the chick commits suicide, like, 45 seconds into
but
the
see,
album.
But see, I would think that would be interesting because you want to find out
you're
why.
You're like, right on.
No, I
right
want to find out why.
You convinced me. I'll give it to the X-Files.
Oh, boy, I did it.
I'm going to watch them all now.
It's good. We'll watch it together.
All right.
And then we'll do a podcast about that.
All right. I'm in.
Let's do it. I'm not going to watch Desperate Housewives. Nobody can convince me.
Well, you're missing out, man.
Wrong again. All right, so looks like from our score, Dan and I have both agreed that the X-Files soundtrack, songs in the key of X, music from and inspired by the X-Files, came out in 1996, is our winner over Desperate Housewives music.
Mainly, if for nothing else, in the fact that there was no Katie Lang on that album.
Yeah.
Who sucks.
Yeah. Although William S. Burroughs' song
Hashtag Katie Lang sucks. Oh, can we talk about like our favorite and least favorite tracks?
Sure, of course.
Because you mentioned that William S. Burroughs one.
So they're like, we got William S. Burroughs, who's like an amazing author, poet.
Uh-huh.
And we got REM, who in the mid to late 90s were like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Like all their stuff is good.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's get these two superstars together for the X-Files soundtrack.
Oh,
you're like,
God,
this is going to be great. And then you listen to it and you're like, is he having a stroke
while
we listen to him?
I changed the locks. Have I misplaced you? Have we lost our mind?
So that song, what was that song, that track called? I don't even know if it's really a song.
It's Star Me Kitten.
Dude, I couldn't get through it, man.
No, it was awful.
It's terrible. He's just this fucking old guy just talking.
And not well. And he sort of mumbles.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, like, sad, but not, like, sad in a good way. It's, like, sad, like he's about to die.
Yeah.
And
definitely my least favorite song, too.
Yeah. I did not like that at all.
What about least favorite on... I think mine was... If yours...
Shoes.
Yours is Shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah, I think mine was Katie Lang. That was, it was real bad.
Good choice.
She looks in the mirror and stares at the wrinkles that weren't there yesterday.
All right, what about...
I'm starting to like you again.
It's
coming back around.
What was your favorite song from Desperate Housewives? I liked all of the covers. Almost all of the covers
mm-hmm.
I really liked. I thought they were fun.
I like the Mrs. Robinson cover quite a bit.
The Indigo Girls?
Yeah.
I like the Macy Gray Boom Boom. Because I really like Macy Gray.
I don't like anything with Macy Gray.
What?
That's two strikes against this album.
Life is better on the outside. So lay me down on a bed in a garden of light. I've been virgin with the truth. No consequence.
She's so good.
Why would you say that?
Because I've listened to her music.
I hate you again.
I got to get you on stabilizers.
I'm going to turn out like one of the Desperate Housewives. Like, needing mother's...
Danny's little helper.
Needing mother's little helper just to get through a fucking podcast with you. God.
All right, so...
Macy Gray sucks.
That's wrong. Okay, what was your favorite song off of Songs in the Key of X?
The kind of obvious one for me would be Down in the Park by Foo Fighters, just because I've heard that song before and really like that song.
Yeah.
But if I was going for like a dark horse, like not obvious one, I liked the Rob Zombie Alice Cooper song.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Hands of Death, Burn Baby Burn.
Which I'm assuming they wrote for this, right? I don't know why they would collaborate before.
That's a hell of a question.
Mine was Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And it's
that was kind of weird.
Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
It's actually the theme song for a Netflix show called Peaky Blinders with Cillian Murphy and Tom Hardy shows up a little later. And I heard that and I'm like, oh, I love this song. And
did
I'm
you
like,
watch the video that came with that? It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
it was the 90s.
Yeah,
I didn't
like
know
the
how
song.
To do that.
I like that song.
That was my favorite from there.
There's a lot of good songs there. I like Man of Steel on there.
Frank Black.
By Frank Black.
Played by Lance Henriksen.
I didn't care so much for the PM Dawn song, but I didn't hate it.
Unbelievable. Definitely not coming on now.
Even though PM Dawn was my recommendation on a previous show.
Dan has a back tattoo that's just PM Dawn.
Yeah.
It's like a clock that says like 6 p.m., but like it's obvious that the sun's rising in the east. Like, whoa, that's kind
of... Pause the podcast and look up a picture of PM Dawn.
Do yourself a little favor.
That's what my tattoo is, a tramp stamp.
All right, so we're going to come back with recommendations for a soundtrack from a television show. All right, so we're back. For our final segment, we're going to do recommendations of TV soundtracks.
Right on.
Now, my favorite TV show...
Of all time.
No, my favorite TV shows that uses music in the best way was...
Hannah Montana.
Eastbound and Down.
Mm.
I don't know if you're... Yeah, you
great.
Watch that.
Yeah, great.
With all the Fixins. Danny McBride just being just a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And he's like a... He's a washed-up schlub who used to play baseball pretty well, or used to be a pitcher pretty well,
mm-hmm.
and...
Kenny Powers.
It's on HBO. Mm-hmm. I think you'd still watch it. I don't know how they did it so well, but they integrated music into that half-hour show just better than I've ever seen. It's all popular music. It's mm-hmm. all stuff you've heard before, a lot of stuff you haven't heard before. It's really fun. And currently, the show Silicon Valley...
Mm-hmm.
Does a pretty good job using music, and I've gotten like 5 really good rap artists from that show that's primarily white people and Kumail Nanjiani. Like, the way that every episode ends, it's like with a really hardcore new rap song. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Let's see who this is. And then I started listening to music because of that.
Sure.
I'm not recommending either of those because they weren't in the category.
I was like, are these real albums?
There was actually an article from like Rolling Stone's online website that they were like, when are we ever going to get a Eastbound and Down soundtrack? Because mm-hmm. that was the best. So my actual recommendation is...
Witchblade the Music.
What's Witchblade?
You don't remember,
you mean Highlander the Raven?
Because
that was okay.
You don't remember Witchblade?
Clearly not.
Yeah, it was like on TNT. It was based on a comic book.
Come on.
It was shit.
TNT? What are you listening to, Mortal Kombat over there?
Yeah, I was watching Monday Nitro and then Mortal Kombat, the TV series.
I watched a couple episodes of that. No, my recommendation is Songs of Anarchy, music from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, that's clever.
I thought it was pretty clever. They do primarily covers of popular songs, like old rock songs. They do a really good version of John the Revelator, which they managed to integrate into the show just like perfectly. They do great stuff with beginning credits music, where they'll do a montage of catching up with different members of the motorcycle gang while a really good song plays. They can just take the temperature of the scene really well and sort of pair it with interesting music that sometimes is sung by like a southern rock band, or like some of the characters in the show do some singing too, so that's kind of fun. But
well, you're kind of a man's man, so
as they
like,
say.
That's
yeah.
why that's why you would pick something real tough like Sons of Anarchy.
Here's the thing, so. Is like that show's mostly one guy screaming about, like, how much family's important. I don't know. I don't know how manly that is. We're family! And he screams...
Jesse! We need to cook!
That show had some pretty good music.
Does it have a soundtrack? I didn't see
it. I don't know.
It was.
I was just trying to think back. Okay, so why would you preface the fact that I'm a manly man? I can't... We already talked about how much you love Desperate Housewives,
yeah.
So what else?
So,
where else can we go?
So I guess I gotta go some... Something that fits my personality.
Naturally.
as
it Witchblade?
As a little bitch. No, I never actually watched Witchblade.
Why would you?
No, nobody did.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with songs from Ally McBeal.
We were just talking about Kathy
yeah.
McPhee. Okay,
uh-huh.
I'm going to look her up while you do that. Sorry.
Yeah, she's not on Ally McBeal.
Hmm.
So, big show. It's a big show for a while. Dancing Babies and
not
shit
the
like that.
Big show with Paul White.
Yeah,
right?
Not, but got a lot of like classic songs and like remakes of classic songs. Some of the originals and some remakes. Got like Walk Away Renee, which is a great 60s era song. Hooked on a Feeling.
Well, that's a good song.
Was remade for the, or they did the remake of it, or the original one on Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. This was a remake of it. A remake, It's in His Kiss. You know that song?
Yeah, of course.
Is it in his eyes? Oh, no, that's not the way.
It doesn't sound like you know it that well either.
I got some Dusty Springfield on there.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mix of... Good mix. Yeah, it's kind of a mix of, I guess, just fun, good songs.
Good.
That, yeah, and like some remakes of fun, you know, good fun songs.
I think that's what really makes a good soundtrack.
And it was a gold record in Poland, so...
You know what they say about the Poles?
Yeah.
They got good taste in
Polskies.
Careful.
Polskies. They were good.
Careful, Dan.
They were good...
at picking L.A. McBeal albums.
No. That was one of the countries that Desperate Housewives was big in.
Yeah. Most of the countries in Europe. All right. So this has been which TV soundtrack was better with Mike and Dan.
They quickly went off the rails and stayed there.
How often could we stay on the rails with this stuff?
I don't know. We've been waiting for the AAA to come back and get us on getting on the rails. We've just been sitting on the side of the tracks.
We got our thumbs up. I don't think that's how trains work.
No.
Just trying to hitch a ride on the old Amtrak. Yeah. Dan, you want to plug your podcast?
Sure.
Which I was so fortunate to be on recently.
If you like wrestling.
Even if you don't like wrestling.
I don't know, man.
Dan's pretty entertaining.
You gotta like wrestling. It's Rhino Wrestling Review. It's on ProWrestling.com now, and it's also on iTunes. And Mike, the Wrestling Philistine, which is his gimmick name.
Yeah. I just go around screaming, look how ignorant I am!
Who hadn't watched wrestling in like 15 years, joined me for the show, which was very entertaining.
Yeah, so, it was a good time.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you can look that up on iTunes or ProWrestling.com.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Dan Rhino, D-A-N-R-Y-N-O.
And thanks for listening. This has been Comparing Apples to Oranges with Mike.
Dan.
And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to episode 18 of the Comparing Apples to Oranges podcast, and I hope you like this one. Look us up on Tumblr. We are comparingapplestooranges, all one word, .tumblr.com. You can find links for my co-hosts and info about upcoming and past episodes will be on there. If you got comments, if you got ideas for future episodes, please send it to Twitter. That's at the Cato Podcast, all one word, or email us at catopodcast@gmail.com. Intro, outro, and music bed music was by an artist named Leisure B and his song Thumbs Up. If you liked him, want to check more stuff out, go to humanworkshop.com. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next month. Bye.